Welcome. Are you ready to take a journey with me into knowledge, enlightenment, and discovery? Then let's journey again together. This is your host, Rebecca Jernigan, and you're listening to Journeys with Rebecca. Good afternoon, and I hope this finds you well. This is your host, Rebecca Jernigan. Have another fabulous show here for you today. My guest today is Stephen McKay, and we'll get back to him in just a moment. But I would like to take the opportunity to say, wasn't that a great show with Nancy Miller Ogren yesterday? And she will be back on again. And I did want to remind everyone, if you missed the show, to go ahead to the archives and listen to it, because we've got some unique stuff coming up. So if you did miss Nancy's show yesterday, please go check it out on the archives. And you know, while I'm thinking of it, I want to give a special thanks to my two sponsors of Journeys with Rebecca. One is Fate Magazine. The other one is for Sandy Andrew, Universal Learning Series, Book 1. So check that out. That's all on the front page of the website. And there's some really, really interesting things on the website I wanted to kind of direct your attention to. Obviously, the newsletter. We try to send that out about once a week. Not always on time, but we try real hard. And, of course, anonymity is just the key here. It's never be bought or sold, so if you want to sign up for the free newsletter, please go ahead and sign up. And some special features is Our World News. There's some really fun stuff there. We put that back on. Also, how to get a reading. And you will see all the links there on the right hand or on the left hand side when you go to the website. Check it out. All kinds of fun stuff. But let's get back to Stephen McKay, our guest for today. He's a return guest. We are going to be talking about so many different things today. We're going to be going back into the UFO and the abductions. We're going to be doing a little reverse speech. We're going to be talking a great deal about different things on the UFO things, by the way. So there is just going to be tons and tons of fun stuff. You are not going to want to miss this show. So stay tuned, and we'll be right back with Journeys with Rebecca and my guest, Stephen McKay.
There's still time to take advantage of a private reading with Rebecca Jernigan with the July special. If you schedule your reading in the month of July, you will get your reading at half price. It's only good for July, so hurry and call now to set your appointment with Master Clairvoyant Rebecca Jernigan. Limited number of time slots are available, so call 888-958-2768. That's 888-958-2768. Call now. Where will your life's journey take you?
Talk with an intuitive touch. Journeys with Rebecca.
Welcome back, and you're listening to Journeys with Rebecca, and we are here again with a return guest, Mr. Stephen McKay. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much.
Well, it's always a pleasure to have you here. Now, you know, we had a really good conversation the last time, and you actually interviewed me. I thought that was kind of interesting. But we have, just like tons of other things that we really wanted to chat about. One of them was going to be kind of talk a little bit more about the whole UFO thing, and there's just a lot of different stuff that we're going to be covering here today. So I'm going to kind of let you maybe kind of direct this for the moment, because okay. I know there's some specific things you wanted to chat about.
Yeah, the first show we kind of went through your biography and talked about your spiritual journey, but I'd like to delve into some specifics about topics of interest about you. Specifically right now, the abduction or possible abduction event that occurred in your life, and then kind of expand off of it. You might want to repeat for those listeners that didn't hear the first show, kind of go through the experience again.
Well, you know, I'd certainly be happy to do that. I was a young woman. I had two small children at the time, and we were coming back from visiting my mother. And in those days, I lived in the state of Michigan and was in a very rural part of the state there. And I was on my way back home, traveling down the freeway, and it was about, 9 o'clock at night. It was dark, and was going down to going north on the freeway, and a green phosphorus light, and that's the only thing that I can say. It was phosphorus. Kind of filled the back seat. I remember a sense of panic about that. And my thought was, is that to make sure that, of course, that the children were safe. Then the next thing I remember is I'm still driving almost in the same spot down the freeway, and I just remember kind of a surreal feeling, like this is very odd because there's no traffic at all on the freeway. I was like all by myself. Of course, the second thing was is that to check to make sure that the children were still in the back seat, which they were. They were sound asleep.
Yeah.
And then the third thing I remember doing was checking the time, and it was now a little after 11. So there was 2 hours that were gone. Just, I mean, absolutely gone. And I remember, you know, a couple things. Is I thought, well, should I pull off the side of the road? Should I keep driving? You know, it's all those things if you've never experienced it before. And I wasn't quite sure what I wanted to do there. So I just kept driving. But I remember I was just pretty shaken over the whole experience because that had been my first experience with anything
loss
like that.
Loss of time. Yeah. Total loss of time.
Well, and I've had loss of time prior to that, but not to the degree that this one was. This
right.
was just really, you know, especially with the green phosphorus light, I was like, oh.
And I've talked to one of your sons who confirmed the entire story. He remembered it at what age was he back then? I don't know, but he recounted the same story, remembering the light coming into the car. So
yeah.
But what's really fascinating is I have this deal that I ask everybody that I come across, basically, what's your strange experience? You know, have you ever seen a UFO and ghosts? You know, I'm always interested in people's stories. Everybody's got a great story to tell, but this story that you just relayed to me and the audience, I've heard over and over again, and it's just amazing to me. And I've had people about 6-7 years ago recount this exact same event in their life, happening down toward Joplin, Missouri, you know, different time frame. Again, it was a woman who had two kids in the back seat. One was a girl and one was a boy. You know, the fluorescent light coming in and the total loss of time. And it just amazes me that the story is repeated over and over again. And you have no contact with, you know, the same people I have contact with.
Well, absolutely not. Isn't that fascinating? That is really fascinating.
So it's just asking people their stories and their questions. And a few years back, I was sitting down with the head of a mental hospital, for lack of a better word. He's one of the elite psychologists in the area, down from Springfield, Missouri, and we were there. And of course, I get off on my deal of, you know, I want to know from the, you know, very respected psychologist, what's the deal about abductions, you know? And he's looking at me like some kind of idiot or something. But and he, you know, I'm asking him, you know, is it real? I mean, do you ever deal with the situation? And he said, you would be surprised at how many cases they dealt with. And you know, they not just a mental hospital, but the treatment center, you know, for different mental issues. And he said it's unbelievably common. And I asked him, well, is it real or is it not? You know, is it just in their head? And of course he did just kind of laughed and said, they believe it's real, and so you've got to believe that something occurred. And his big point was, here are people from all around the area, different cities, don't know each other, recounting the same exact abduction case. And you just got to wonder. And he said it was really weird, specifically around a specific lake, Stockton Lake, which is north and west of Springfield. Very high number of cases. He said he dealt with over 100 cases of abductions in that one area. And these are people that don't want publicity. They don't want people to find out about, hey, you know, I was abducted. They're trying to deal with it on a very personal level. And so they go and search out help. You know, am I crazy is what they're asking. And so these are very credible witnesses with credible stories.
You know, I find that, and of course, you know, let's put that into perspective. You know, asking that psychologist, if one has not experienced something like that, it's very easy for him to say what he says, which they believe it's real.
Right.
And if you are an abductee, and I've spoken to quite a few abductees where their experiences are just absolutely phenomenal, that's their whole job, is to say, well, they think it's real.
Right.
And, you know, that's a very noncommittal answer, but
it
I
is.
Find that very extraordinary that this gentleman down there was treating so many people for this kind of phenomena.
And he was not negative at all. Like I said, he repeated the story, the fact that here are people that don't know each other from a broad section of the country or the state reporting the same event happening to them. You know, either something has happened repeatedly or it's mass hysteria of people that don't know each other. That doesn't make sense. It could be swamp gas, you know.
Well, there you go. Or something other than swamp gas. You know, they have other things, too, that go on there. So, yeah.
And then that gets into my whole issue of why aren't scientists, real scientists, you know, investigating this phenomenon?
Well,
we have some good scientists doing it, but they get ridiculed.
Well, they do, and you've also got to remember, too, is that our government is the one that's saying that they don't, UFOs and all that stuff doesn't exist. So that's the reason why there's no money spent on the research or to help these people or anything like that, because of the way everything has been set up.
And you remember, most of the scientists work for universities, and who funds the universities?
Absolutely. That's right.
Or you know, the scientists want to work on certain projects, so they'll get a grant. Well, who's paying that grant? Again, it's the federal government. So,
right. Surprise.
There's a lot of... Now, you take another step beyond that. Why would the government not want us to know the truth? You know, is it fear, or is it their reaction? You know, they're not quite sure of our reaction to finding out the information, or what I think it is they don't want the public to know that there are objects, you know, flying above our country, and even abduction cases, and there's nothing they can do about it. They can't defend us against that, so they don't want to look bad.
Well, that's part of it. The other part of it is then they would have to then stand up and say, well, yeah, there really is UFOs. There really are extraterrestrials. These things really do happen. After all this time of all the cover-ups, they would have to say those things. And they're not prepared to do that. They are absolutely not prepared to do that. And, as you said, you know, when you look at it, what are they going to do? These, you know, extraterrestrials or UFOs flying over the United States, as a matter of fact, all over the world.
Yeah.
If they can't... And if they hadn't have set it up like that, if they had, you know, originally when all of this was coming forward and the media was becoming very big, you know, with the advent and invent of, you know, television and radio and reporters and all of that, if they hadn't have tried to cover it up from the very beginning, we wouldn't be living in a very different world right now.
And I think there's a huge amount of disinformation that's put
out. Purposely.
I think some of these, quote, UFO specialists who have some of these really bizarre stories are probably plants. You know, they want to make everybody sound like they're just crazy. And, you know, some of these guys may be very credible, but I think there's a few in there that's just been thrown in, you know, to tell the wildest, ridiculous stories that way everybody can just go, they're just all nuts. You can't lump everybody together because you've got some very good scientists that believe in this phenomenon. You got some very good people, very credible people. You got police officers that have seen stuff, doctors. I mean, you name it, the gamut, you know.
Absolutely.
And radio show people. I think here's my whole point to this whole issue, and maybe it's the whole issue for tonight in our discussions. Is it about time that we as a society, as people, admit that the phenomena is real? Let's get past this point of trying to prove it to everybody. I know I got to prove it to you that UFOs are real. We need to get past that point and get to the next step, which is the investigation, the good work of finding out who these people are, if they're people, what it is, you know, and stop coming up with these lame, you know, swamp gas things and everybody just buys it. So I think we need to get past the point, and I don't know that we're going to make it,
Well, and I don't either. And here's the other side of that coin as far as I'm concerned. Why don't we just admit to it? Because obviously if they meant us harm, they could have done that long, 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 long ago. It's throughout history. It's throughout, I mean, they find this on, you know, painted on rocks that are thousands and thousands and thousands of years ago. So if we are being visited, which I believe we are, then, you know, it's like, okay, so what's the problem? Obviously, they aren't here to, like, blow up our world, or they would have already done it.
Absolutely.
So there makes no sense in that with me. I don't find a sense with that.
And, of course, I have no evidence, and I'm really not big into the paranormal. It's just a kind of interest of mine that, but I believe that there are more than one society that's visiting our planet. You know, the universe is just huge. It's huge, huge. There's a number of planets, number of stars are just infinite. And so to think that, you know, we're out there by ourselves is ridiculous, but also to think that we're out there by ourselves with one other people coming visiting us is wrong, too. I think we're probably constantly visited by either interdimensional travel or conventional travel of some type, and maybe some of those might be bad. Maybe somebody will pop along who has a bad attitude, and, you know, I don't know.
Well, and so, yeah, the just like we do know that there's been craft that they have. We do know that because of the reverse engineering. Trying to figure out how these crafts moved. So, in and of itself, we know that that's happened. Of course, they can't say that, well, this is a you know, an extraterrestrial, but yet we do know they're doing reverse engineering on this type of craft to figure out how they can make their own or you know, use the information or the technology. So it's like if we could just admit to it, as you said, I think it would be a better place. I mean, I don't think it would cause mass panic depending on how it's done. You know, if it's done from a military standpoint, oh, we can't protect our skies, you know, especially in this day and age, then yeah, I could see where that could be a problem.
Two, you know, we don't want to get in too deep into this, but there are people with specific beliefs, religious beliefs, that would just freak out.
Agreed.
You know? And they, you know, either they would immediately jump to the point that this is God coming here, or they might go, this is the Antichrist, and go out there when the UFO lands and start throwing beer cans at it or something. You know? Yay, get out of here. We don't want you here. We don't want your intelligence. So, you know, they probably are looking at us going, you know, we really don't want to land on the White House right now because... To be quite frank, the humankind, you still got some issues to take care of. You're still killing each other all across this country, all across the globe.
All across the world, yes, sir. That's the saddest part, I think. I think that is the saddest part.
So when we're, you know, all humankind sitting back here and going, you know, we're highly evolved, intelligent beings. Look at it from an outside perspective. Look at it from the viewpoint of a alien who's coming, just happens to stop by the planet because they needed a gallon of water or something, and they look at us and go, well, there's killing all over the globe, they're destroying the environment, they're spewing mercury and all kinds of stuff into the air, and they're just not taking care of what they've got, you know, whether it's their planet, their the people themselves, the animal life, you know. Human beings need to be judged on how they treat their animals. You know, that's the level of intelligence. And, you know, humankind has some smart people, but we've got an awful lot of people that just haven't got all the oars in the water there.
And, you know, that's a very true statement, and it's unfortunate. But I believe that if we could learn to live in harmony, not only with ourselves, but within nature, and within nature includes living with the animals and all kinds of wildlife and species and, you know, like the rainforest and what they're doing with that and the environment. I mean, we're all interconnected. There's a reason why all of these things are here, whether it be animals or plant life or, the water or the grass or and the people and all of that. It's all about working together. It's about being a part of something that's higher than ourselves. Understanding this is the things that go on here on our day-to-day globe is a miraculous thing. It truly is miraculous. And each individual in their own belief systems is miraculous. Why can't you just go, okay, well, you know, you don't believe the same way that I do. That's okay. That doesn't mean that that's the only thing that we might have in common, or maybe I'll just go and talk to somebody else I have more in common with.
Absolutely.
Instead of trying to muscle or overcome or overdo the other person or try to say, no, this is the only way to believe. I'm sorry, I don't think that was the intention when this world became inhabited.
No.
Really don't. I don't.
Preconceived concepts by certain people, certain groups. And, you know, I don't want to get into that.
No.
They're saying it about me, so. You know, or I don't have the right values. You know, you just, it's like your show, like what you do. It's a journey. A life should be a journey. You shouldn't stop growing as an individual intellectually just because you reach a certain age and people are telling you what to think. You need to continue growing and searching out information because your opinions change all the time, especially when it comes related to big topic issues like the Big Bang and the existence of alien beings and angels. I mean, you can go into all of that.
Well, and there you have it. I mean, honestly, that's the thing, is that our journey here on this earth, for me, is about the evolution of the soul or the spirit. And it's about what we learn and what we can continue to learn. When the point comes when we don't feel like we can learn anything else or we can't do anything else, then I think it's time for us not to be here. So, you know, Stephen, this has just been really a great fun. I know that we're going to be covering some more things. And
yeah, I'd like to get into the crop circles when we come back.
Oh, absolutely.
And, I've got some reverse speech.
Ooh, yes.
That I have got prepared for you. I've always loved it, but I'm... You know, I'm not an expert, but I got the equipment, so we'll have to check that out.
All right, we are. We're going to check that out. We're going to check out reverse speech and crop circles and some other things, whatever
maybe
happens to pop up.
We'll talk about psychic phenomena, your specialty there.
Ah, now that might be kind of interesting as well. So, you know, we're just going to have a really good time. You know, and I do invite people that would like to ask me a question to go ahead and email me. That's mailbag@journeyswithrebecca.com. I'd love to answer your questions right here on air. Talk to you later, and don't go away. We'll be right back. Your Never-Ending Life, Book 1 of the Universal Learning Series, introduces the revolutionary philosophical theory of universal learning. The theory of universal learning focuses on you, the never-ending, eternal spirit, developing an understanding of the transcendent scale of the universe and learning the ways of God the Creator, teaching common principles and moralities that most religions share. Universal learning is based around the universal laws and universal energy. It is divided into three main topics: who you are, why you are here, and how to achieve success and fulfillment in your lifetime. Your Never-Ending Life explores subjects such as past lives, karma, emotional control, and superior spirit. The book is written in an easy-to-read and broad-minded fashion. For more information, visit www.universallearningseries.com.
Close your eyes and imagine you're beside a pure mountain stream, the water cascading over the stones. A paradise like this isn't easy to come by, but it does still exist. Because the Nature Conservancy works locally with people like you to save precious places around the world forever. That way, closing your eyes will never be the only way to get there. I'm Paul Newman. Help save the last great places.
Visit the Nature Conservancy at nature.org. Nature.org.
At Fate Magazine, they recognize the impossible can be possible. We explore the unknown so that it can be known. From personal accounts of ghosts and UFOs to scientific examination of psychic phenomena and earth mysteries,
Faith's main purpose continues to be honest reporting and open discussion of the strange and the unknown. So log on to www.faithmag.com or call 1-800-728-2730.
More than talk, it's entertaining insight and discoveries. You're listening to Journeys with Rebecca.
Welcome back, and you're listening to Journeys with Rebecca. We are here with Stephen McKay, and Stephen would like to welcome you back to the next segment here. Now, we talked an awful lot about the UFO thing. You know, one of the things that I kind of wanted to bring up for just a minute is, I don't know if anybody out there else has seen it. I know that I have. I think you have, too. I think we talked about it.
Absolutely.
Was the Dan Aykroyd Unplugged?
Unplugged on UFOs.
Yes, yes. What did you think about the interview? I thought it was actually pretty fascinating.
I think it's great. I think, you know, sometimes you dismiss comedians as, you know, just comedians, but he really has a huge intellect. Very bright, asks great questions, and makes great statements. I would highly recommend it. You can get it on pay-per-view now, I think, or not pay-per-view, but pay-on-demand or whatever it is through your cable company. You can always buy it. I notice you have a link on your website where you
yes.
can buy the DVD. So.
Yes, and what that link does is take it right over to the website where you can purchase it from them. I don't sell it specifically,
right.
but...
And you could watch a trailer there, too, you know.
And the trailer was good. And I think that people that listen or watch this movie, I think they're going to be really surprised by some of the adversity that he has had to go through here in the last few years, and specifically about putting out this particular movie.
Absolutely.
It kind of blew me away. I was like,
He had a whole documentary. I think it was already in the can, or at least... the first five or six episodes, and somehow it got pulled, and a little government influence there, I believe, because he was kind of getting a little close on some topics there, and, you know, this genre of TV is in right now. I mean, people want to know, but with a big name like Dan Aykroyd, you got to tell me that this wasn't going to be a hit.
Absolutely.
So there was somebody came along and said, you know, you don't need to be doing this. So
he kind of
went around the back end and did this documentary or, you know, interview, whatever, Unplugged on UFOs. Go check it out.
And there, what I thought was interesting about it was that it there was a lot of still things that were left unsaid. And you can get that. You can get that he's very careful how he's wording some things, which is sad.
Yeah. Well, he's not going to just jump out and say, you know, this is the way it is. He's, again, searching through the journey. And,
yeah. Yep. It is a huge journey. And, you know, one of the things that I did want to mention is that in this movie, there was a lot of footage that was supplied by a couple of my guests, actually. So I thought previous guests. So that was great. And one of the guests had also had come on and had actually talked to me, too, about crop circles, which I think that was something we kind of wanted to touch base with.
Yeah, I wanted to get your view on the crop circle there. Because originally, up until a month or so ago, I was kind of joking about crop circles. Like, oh, that's about the silliest thing I've ever heard. You know, space aliens are going to ride in crops? Yeah, right. You know, just a big joke. And I have my own theory about it, or I did. But I'm beginning to change my opinion just a little bit. Maybe they don't know any other way to communicate. You know, crops are very important to survival. So maybe that's what they look at. So I was going to see what your opinion was. What is crop circles?
Well, I have two opinions, and I'm going to give one of them now. And one of them is that some of the people that I have actually interviewed said that they were the ones, the actual human beings were out there actually physically creating these crop circles. And I say, shame on you.
Absolutely.
That's just, you know, after they started showing up. But I will tell you is I do believe that there's a technology, and I believe that there was some messages. You know... And I call it sacred geometry. Now, I'm going to back up just a little bit because we've all seen, you know, the Discovery Channel or the History Channel where they talk about where they've taken aerial views in different parts of the world. And there's all these things all these animals and people figures and stuff that are, you know, made into the earth, but you can't see unless you're way up.
Yeah. Huge thing.
Yes.
Huge.
Yes. So there's got to be a point to it, because if somebody was just to walk into these fields, they're not going to really be able to really ascertain what this is. It just looks like the crops have been laid down,
no,
you know?
I never really thought of it that way. That is such a good point, that here are these drawings that, you know, were made 2,000-3,000 years ago. Well, it's just a progression. I never really thought about that. That makes a lot of sense.
Yep. I honestly believe that there is something there to that, because it's just a different way of presenting the information. It's just a different way. We just haven't figured out what the key is. And really, is it for us, or is it for those who might be visiting us? That's the other question that I have. I'm like, well, I'm not quite sure if these crop circles are meant for us, or if they're meant for, if they're written in a language, obviously beyond our understanding or certainly knowing, and if it's for those that we know, for those of us who believe that we're being visited, that are sitting out there in the atmosphere or beyond our atmosphere, rather, that we don't actually necessarily know that they're here. I, you know, I'm still kind of not quite sure how I feel about that. I think it's a little bit of both. I think that these drawings, if you will, or these crop circles that are being created is something that if we could figure out what the key is, it would be great. But I also feel like that it could be information or messages, if you will, for those who are actually visiting our world.
It could be. It could be, you know, I even thought about it could be alien graffiti. You know, you got a space alien, you know, I'm talking to it in that terms, but an alien being in his craft coming by, and he said, oh, there's a big field. I'll ride in it just so my buddies can see me ride in. I mean, you don't know how these people think. That's what human beings would do. Hey, I see a big wall. I'm going to write something there, you know, graffiti it. So maybe it's alien graffiti. There's all kinds of possibilities, too. Or it could be instructions, too.
Well,
I always thought about that. It could be instructions. You follow these instructions, and then you'll discover us. And it's like, well, that's great, but I still can't figure out what your drawing means.
Right, exactly. It's absolutely beyond our understanding at this moment, I believe, for most of us anyway, of understanding what these signs and the literal structures of these crop circles are. I believe it's just technology way beyond us at this point.
Absolutely.
And, well, I know you had a couple other things that you wanted
to
yak about.
Reverse speech.
Oh,
We've always had a lot of fun with reverse speech. That's taking normal conversation, forward conversation, reversing it, and looking for hidden messages, hidden statements that's made that could be subconsciously being spoken. So there's other messages within what you're actually saying. And it's amazing that, you know, you would think that if you reverse somebody's speech that you would end up with a bunch of garbly gook. That's, you know, common. We do find that. And we'd also think that we'd find just random words, you know, apple, tree, you know, just words that make no sense. But what we find is messages, context. Sometimes you'll have a whole conversation about a specific thing in reverse, and that should not happen according to, you know, specific people. So there is messages there. Do we believe them or not? I don't know. Or where they come from? I don't know.
Well, and I know we have a few little clips here, so
I'd like to play, first of all, the first thing you're going to hear is a very famous speech by FDR. I'm going to go ahead and play it. We've all heard it, but let's hear it once again. And it's bringing up right now, I hope.
Yesterday, December 7th, 1941, a date which will live in infamy, the United States of America was suddenly and deliberately attacked by naval and air forces of the Empire of Japan.
Okay, so we all remember that great speech. Well, I've taken that that little snippet of the speech and reversed it. And I found this is one of the most astonishing pieces of audio I've ever heard, because everything he says in reverse, he says something else. this guy is speaking. That's how dramatic his words are, I think, because they have meanings on both sides of them. And I'd like to play a few of them. And again, they're all in context together. I mean, they're just not random words that are just floating around there. And when we go through this, please remember the situation. You know, the start of World War II, this is back in the 40s. Remember the context. So when you listen to some of these, that's how you have to take it. We're just, you know, the country is at war. We've just been attacked. And the first thing he says in reverse is, let me look at this. Have faith. He's reassuring the country to have faith.
Have faith.
Now, what I, on these little bits, what you hear is that that reverse speech comment repeated three times. I'm going to do it again three times. The last time I have slowed it down to make it a little bit easier to understand. So again, the same little bit is repeated three times. Have faith, and then I slow it down just to make it a little easier to understand.
Have faith.
So
wow. Again, reassuring the country. Have faith in me. We will make it through. We were just attacked by Japan at the start of World War II. The next one is, cannot make me. And I presume that this, again, I'm trying to interpret this, is that you cannot make me lose my faith. And this is, again, cannot make me. Can you hear that?
For me, it's very clear. You know, and we also need to, I think, let people know that this is, original, radio. So, you know, obviously the quality back in those days weren't quite as well as it is now.
Absolutely.
But, yeah, absolutely.
And, besides that, maybe my ear is a little more accustomed to hearing the reverse from hearing so much of it. But let's hear the next one. And again, this is the context of being attacked by Japan. They weren't always so politically correct back then, obviously. And when you hear this clip, you'll understand why. And the statement is, it's all about the little man now. I presume it was referring to the Japanese or the Japanese leader.
They hope by a little bit now.
Wow.
So, I mean, that's a little more difficult to understand and to grasp all the wording. If you go through and you speed up some of it, slow it down, I try never to change the pitch of anything. It's either slow up, slow down, and, you know, in the last version of it. But all in all, I mean, it's pretty astonishing. You ready for the next one?
I am. I can hardly wait.
And this one is what I believe it says is, about as low as it can get. And again, the context is, you know, we're about at war. We've been attacked. Of course, we lost a number of battleships. Luckily, we still had our carriers, but our Pacific Fleet was absolutely decimated at Pearl Harbor. And he says, about as low as it can get.
Wow. I heard it.
Very good. Very
good. I heard it.
And let's see. We got a little more time. We got another segment. I will see him.
Now we'll see him.
And I will say that there was one segment that I didn't play that almost had profanity in it. I think FDR was taking this whole situation very personal, and Japanese leaders, I will see them. I'll get back at them. And the last one I have of this one is really cool, and it's actually a two-part thing. There was a little bit of time gap in them, so this was edited just slightly. But the statement is, by summer, we have the time. And obviously, I believe that refers to the building up of forces. And, of course, the next summer, Midway, and kind of a slight turning in the tide of the war. And maybe he was talking about another summer that, you know, maybe we dropped the bomb. I don't know how intuitive he was. So this one is by Summer C. We Have Time.
But summer, you tear the tape. But summer, you tear the tape. But summer, you tear the tape.
Wow.
Think about that.
Wow, so, wow.
That's just one little snippet of speech. I got another, one more clip if you want to hear it. It's John F. Kennedy, and let's see. I should have it here. Let's play the Ford version. Again, it's another famous speech, John F. Kennedy.
Let every nation know, whether it wishes us well or ill, that we shall pay any price, bear any burden, meet any hardship, support any friend, oppose any foe, to assure the survival and the success of liberty.
And this one's kind of referring to that he has seen war, is my belief, and it's JFK. Let's hear it. He's trying to prevent the world from falling into another war situation, and he did see it. You know, he was in World War II, so I'll play it one more time.
Been there, seen it.
I thought it was a very profound
yes.
statement in the context of what he was discussing.
So. Absolutely.
So what do you think?
I think those are fabulous.
A few of them that I found, and I've got tons. We've posted some of our personal stuff on the website. I do want to mention that it's one of those things that you don't want to get too involved with on a personal level with people that you don't know, because you don't. It's like entering the private zone of somebody's thoughts, and so it's very difficult ethically for me to just reverse speech anybody about anything. You know, I do presidents and those type of people, and especially stuff older. And then personal stuff, but I don't go out and just do people off the street or maybe some interviews or anything that I've heard because it's just not ethical. You got to have the other person, if it is a personal situation like that, involved saying it's okay, because, I mean, I've heard some pretty wild stuff, and you hate to just blurt it out and say it's the truth or not. So.
Well, and, you know, that's the whole thing. This is kind of new technology in a sense that, you know, it's been... Again, what I say or what you say or what anyone says one-on-one with somebody or during the course of a conversation is what they mean to say at that moment. What they're saying in reverse speech is not something necessarily they've given their permission for, and certainly in most cases, most people are not conscious of what they may be saying that we're not actually hearing.
Right.
So, I'm all about the, you know, ethical stuff. I truly am. You know, you just got to be really
if
careful.
If I do it for somebody, they come to me and say, you know, I want to do some reverse speech. It's strictly between them and me. And, you know, it gets deleted right off the computer. I just provide the information. I don't try to judge.
There you go. And it's not for our judgment. Absolutely not. So, I want to say that just across the board, you know, as an example, the newsletter that I send out or the readings that I personally do, those are all between, you know, me and that individual. Or that individual and myself, however the grammar is correct there. But in reverse speech is the same thing. I know that I have sat down with you, Stephen, and done some reverse speech, and we've had communication, and those, there's just some things that you just don't share. It's just, that's just the way that it is.
Absolutely.
Well, you know what? I think what we'll do is we'll take a quick break and we'll come right back.
Cool.
And we're going to kind of finish it up and talk maybe a little bit more about that psychic phenomena. And stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Call Rebecca and schedule your private reading. 888-95-TAROT. That's 888-958-2768. Where will your life journey take you?
Hi, this is Rebecca. You know, it's easy to keep up with all the latest Journeys news. My upcoming guest, just sign up to receive the Journeys newsletter. It's free, and you will never receive any junk mail. Your email is never sold or distributed. So keep up to date the easy way. Just log on to my website, journeyswithrebecca.com, and at the bottom of the main page, you'll see the box. Type in your email address, and you're done. and once a week or so, you'll receive all the latest Journeys news.
Hi, this is Rebecca of Journeys with Rebecca. Today I'd like to talk to you about Your Never-Ending Life. It's book one in the series, Universal Learning. It introduces the revolutionary philosophical theory of universal learning. The book is written in an easy-to-read and broad-minded fashion. Your Never-Ending Life explores subjects such as past lives, karma, emotional control, and superior spirit. It takes you on the journey to discovery of you, the never-ending eternal spirit. You will develop an understanding of the transcendent scale of the universe and learning the ways of God the Creator. To learn more or to get your copy, visit www.universallearningseries.com. Again, that's www.universallearningseries.com.
Talk with an intuitive touch. Journeys with Rebecca.
Welcome back, and you're listening to Journeys with Rebecca. We are here with my guest, Stephen McKay, and we have just covered all kinds of stuff today. We've talked about UFO abductions. We've done some reverse speech. We've talked about crop circles. We've talked about some conspiracy theories, that kind of thing. But I know you had some questions on what you call the psychic phenomena.
Yes, again, psychic phenomena, and I'd like to make the point again that it's time that everyone, our society, our scientists, our government, admits that the phenomena is real on this topic again, and then get into the hard investigation, the research, and because I think the evidence is overwhelming, let's just move on, because I see a lot of psychics or people go and get a reading, and the first thing they say is, you know, well, I want to prove that it's real. Well, you're wasting everybody's time by trying to prove that it's real, because I want to prove that it's real. Get past that point. Either believe in the information and use it, or get out of here, because you're wasting people's time. Let's get past the point of everybody trying to prove it. If people have it, you know, it's good information. If they don't have it, is psychic ability natural? Does everybody have the ability to remote view? You know, what's the difference? You know,
Well, it's two different processes. A psychic ability, yes, I believe everyone has some level. I think some have a greater degree of it than others. Now, remote viewing is something entirely different. That is a person learning to hone their psychic skills for the purpose of maybe, you know, I go to some of these people that actually teach this. You know, we've had some people that go out and actually teach us from the government, because that's what they were taught to do. And they do it from a scientific thing. What they do is they know that certain information can elicit the mind, once it's in a relaxed state, to draw upon symbols, and
let me interrupt by saying, you know, I'm an electrical engineer. Issue is what my background is, and I will tell you, everybody, you know, a doctor, an engineer will tell you that the human brain is a transmitter and receiver. You can put probes on the brain, and you can see that evidence. So everyone's individual range of gathering information may be different. So I just wanted to insert that into, because it seemed relevant in what you were saying.
Absolutely. So with the remote viewing, they can actually train people by giving them very little information as to where they want them to focus their abilities. And there's been a great amount of success with that remote viewing, which is a form of obviously psychic abilities. In my opinion, psychic abilities is also something that comes from tapping into, I call it, other dimensions, or dimensions that we exist in and aren't aware of, where the future, if it was, is already shown to us to a certain extent. The point behind a reading is, if you don't like it, you now have the information to change what has kind of been put into place. That's how I feel about it.
Now, as the intuitive diagnostics, which is your thing, you've helped me not only personally, but, you know, in my business. A whole new dimension to a businessman is having this information. Is intuitive diagnostics what you use naturally, or do you use remote viewing? How do you do that?
I do my remote viewing is a little different than how they teach it, but I don't use too much remote viewing. What I do use is the psychic or clairvoyant ability when I'm doing the intuitive diagnostics, which is specifically directed towards businesses, whether they be small, medium, or large, working on personnel, working on the proper placement of employees, business decisions, what direction the company's going in, how they can change it. I've absolutely had phenomenal success with small, medium, and large businesses working from all different levels. So it's fabulous. And, Stephen, my goodness, we're out of time.
Yeah,
thank you so much.
Enjoyed it. Thank you.
All right. Talk to you soon.
Want to know what's on my coffee table? The latest issue of Fate Magazine. Hi, this is Rebecca. You know, Fate Magazine provides a one-of-a-kind reading experience. Published continuously since 1948, Fate is the only publication to consistently supply its loyal readership with a broad array of true accounts of the strange and unknown, from psychics and spiritualists to archaeological hotspots and fringe science, from authoritative UFO and paranormal investigations to readers' personal mystic experiences. Fate articles are factual, informative, and entertaining. Fate's unique mix serves the growing audience of people seeking both answers and entertainment. Find out more about Fate, and to subscribe, log on to www.fatemag.com or call 1-800-728-2730.
There's still time to take advantage of a private reading with Rebecca Jernigan with the July special. If you schedule your reading in the month of July, you will get your reading at half price. It's only good for July, so hurry and call now to set your appointment with Master Clairvoyant Rebecca Jernigan. Limited number of time slots are available, so call 888-958-2768. That's 888-958-2768. Call now. Where will your life's journey take you?
For the people in our military, it's a time of sacrifice and duty. That's why all four military aid societies have joined together to form the Armed Forces Relief Trust to help military families cope with financial and medical emergencies at home. With so many serving overseas, the need is greater than ever. You can learn more and donate at www.afrtrust.org. A message from the National Association of Broadcasters and this station.
Find out more about a show topic or guest. Log on to www.journeyswithrebecca.com.
This is a public service message from the National Fatherhood Initiative and the Ad Council.
I'm sitting here with my kids and my wife and everything that I hold dear in my life. We say grace and thank the Lord, got so much to be thankful for. Then it's up the stairs and off to bed, and my little girl says, I haven't had my story yet. Everything weighing on my mind disappears just like that when she lifts her head off her pillow and says, I love you, Dad.
I know how important a dad can be. That's why my wife and I take our daughters on tour with us. My name's Tim McGraw, and I want to say, it doesn't take a superstar, but it takes a man to be a dad. Call 1-800-790-DADS for free helpful information.
I don't know why they say grown men don't cry.
Journeys is always looking for informed, entertaining, and passionate guests. Email your guest suggestion to mailbag@journeyswithrebecca.com. You're listening to Journeys with Rebecca.
I'd like to thank my guests tonight for sharing their wonderful information and knowledge with us. And a special thanks goes out to you, the listeners. Now, you know, the guests I have on air are given the opportunity to share their viewpoints or ideas. Now, you and I have the opportunity of choice in regards to those ideas or viewpoints. Be sure to check in next week for more enlightening educational talk and discoveries. This is Rebecca of Journeys with Rebecca. Until we meet again, where will your life's journey take you?
many blessings, and good night.
You have been listening to BBS Radio, a blogandservice.com production and a service to others endeavor. Thank you very much for tuning into our radio program, and we wish you much peace and joy on your journey.